Welcome back to another episode of Navigating Postpartum with me, Jeray Williams. I'm so grateful that you tuned in. You guys, the subscribers are going up, so I appreciate you guys subscribing. Make sure that you continue to share this episode onto your Instagram story or wherever, because I love seeing you guys share it and it means so much to me. But let's get into it. Today, I have a special guest. Her name is Lisa, and Lisa's going to introduce herself. But y'all, I'm grinning. If y'all can see me, I'm grinning from ear to ear because I'm just so excited about this conversation. But here you go, Lisa. Go ahead, introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Lisa Petcher-Reed. I'm an information scientist and author of Beyond Reactions, Nurturing an Emotionally Intelligent, Limitless Generation Through Conscious Parenting. And I'm
Ooh.
here today to talk about how understanding AI can help you become a more conscious parent.
Yes. And then what is an informational scientist for people who don't know?
So officially my degree is around information science and information technology, but information science is really about research in depth in all different areas. So for me personally, on my own podcast, I go into every single area of health, in-depth research to understand how do we take the self-help knowledge and how do we take all of the scientific research and make that actionable advice that people can actually take into their lives to improve their health across all areas of health. And particularly parenting is a very, very dear one to me and very important to me. So it's taking on board all of the research and looking at how do we do better.
Ooh, yes. You know, I love research. I have a science background as well. I have my degree in biology, and we did a lot of research. And I worked in a research lab in college,
Oh.
and I love research. It just being in the four walls wasn't for me, but I love it. But yeah, so tell us about AI, because I know that's something that's trending right now, and we're just like, oh, AI, chat AI. It's just different name types. So tell us about it.
So let's talk about AI as in how it's trained. So rather than the trending side of how to use it. But if you want to train a computer, if you want to train AI, you basically take a lot of data on whatever it is that you want to train them on and show it over and over again and tell it what it is. So if you wanted to teach AI the difference between green and red, for example, you would take a whole bunch of green, different shades of green, tell it it's green, and a whole different bunch of shades of red and tell it that it's red. You can also take the whole rainbow and tell it every other color so that it's more robust. But essentially, you show it a lot of this data and then explain exactly what it means. When I started working in AI years ago in a very different career, I sat down with somebody who was explaining to me exactly how it works. I was like, this isn't very much different from how you train a child or how you raise a child. Essentially, the data points are life experience, the things you see, hear, touch, feel, all of that. It's all of the data points that you take in as a child to determine what you think is appropriate behavior, for example. So maybe it's not the difference between green and red. Maybe it's the difference between safe and unsafe, or the difference between acceptable and unacceptable. So at a very base level, we're talking about taking an experience or a piece of data and giving a very clear view of what is right and what is not right, or what is safe and what is not safe. And when we take that and translate that into how does that help us become a more conscious parent, what we're really talking about is how do we parent in a way that the data models are clear? And how do we parent in a way that we don't say one thing and then give it a different piece of data that aligns, but we tell it the opposite. So we don't say it's not okay to hit someone and then hit a child and say it's okay in this scenario. It's very confusing data inputs. And it's not okay to yell at someone or say something or swear at someone and then do that to a child and then tell them it's okay. So really, when we parent in a really conscious way, we're talking about making sure that our data inputs that we provide our child are clear
It's like the
and are.
modeling aspect of it. Is that how what you're meaning about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's when you behave, however you behave as a parent, remembering that that isn't just how you're reacting to the situation. That's actually the input that your child is taking for what is acceptable behavior.
Yes, that's so true, especially in toddlerhood as well, because like whatever you do, your toddler will mimic it. And that's one thing me and my husband are very like conscious about. Like, okay, we have to be mindful how we say things to him, because I know recently it's so crazy that you just said this, because recently my son, he has a thing, so he'll grab our phones in a way sometimes, like we'll like give it back, but not in a sense of like a negative connotation, but to him it's like, oh no. She's like, give it back. So that's how it sounds in his head. So we're like, well, we have to be more mindful of how we ask for things back, even though we don't necessarily see it as a bad thing. But he's in his mind, it's like, no, she's like, it's in a negative behavior. And then he's gonna go say that to other people. So even when he was at the playground, he was like, give it back. And me and him were like, wow, like this is crazy. Cause it's like, we didn't even mean it like that. But it's like those, you have to be mindful of what you're saying and how you say it, because they will do it.
Yes. Yeah, and it translates to so many different things. So if you're speaking to another adult, for example, and your child comes up to you, how you respond to them in the way of accepting their interruption and validating them when they come and speak to you, and how you respond to them is how they're going to respond when you interrupt them. And how you react when you're feeling angry is how they're going to react when they feel angry. So it's not about telling them, hey, take a deep breath, make sure you focus inwards and do those sorts of things when they're feeling angry. It's about making sure that you model the behavior when you're feeling angry. And if you're going to tell them, hey, it's okay to cry, you have to also be willing to let yourself cry when you're feeling sad and not hold up this strong, I have to be something in front of my kids that doesn't show them
The emotion side of it.
and emotions. Yes, because emotions aren't weakness. But if you want them to be able to experience the suite of emotions that is life, you have to do it in front of them and you have to model that behavior. And every single thing that you look at your children and think, oh, I wish they weren't doing that, most often it's actually then looking at yourself
It's
and
like a
looking at,
mirror.
okay, exactly. And it can be a really confronting mirror sometimes, right?
Yes, because it's like for me, when my son got into his twos, I had and I was pregnant at the time, I was like drained and things, and I'm just like, what is going on? But I read this one book as well. It's called Raising Good Humans or something like that, and that kind of made me reflect inward too. It was like, okay, so this is what ways that you can work on becoming a better parent, because it's like it's not enough for us sometimes to get our kids better, but we have to look at ourselves. And that's when kind of like I we said, the mirror of things, like he started to get improve as well. Like, yes, he's still working on his emotions, but then it's helping me, it's challenging me to handle my emotions in a better way so that it models for him. So now, like, even when he is frustrated, he's like, I need help, or like, you know, take a moment, or he'll model the things that I do, because like, you know, I'm at home with him during the day. So it's just, that is so true. Like, just it's a mirror. Parenting is really like a mirror.
Yeah, and it translates to so much more than you think as well, because if you're constantly trying to tell your children, hey, eat healthier, well, eat healthy food yourself and serve healthy food rather than hiding in the cupboard and eating things, you know, because that's what your kid's going to see and they're going to go, okay, well, that's how you snack. You hide in the cupboard and eat something. And if you want your child to exercise more and take care of their body, well, you need to model that as well. So everything that we think, I wish that for my child, we have to consider, well, why do I wish that for my child and not behave that way for myself? And if that's something that I think is valuable for a citizen or whatever it is in your mind that you think that's what I want to raise my child as a good citizen or as somebody who's authentic to themselves or whatever that description is in your mind, a healthy human being, well, you need to model it as well
Yes,
across all areas of health.
and what would you say would be like the best way for someone to start? Like, say there's a parent out there who's struggling in this area. Like, I don't know. Like, I didn't know I was a mirror. So, where would you, what advice would you give them to start?
Look at the behaviors you struggle with the most with your kids. And then it doesn't always directly translate into it doesn't always directly translate into you've done it in that same scenario, but exactly like you were talking about with the phone. It's okay, he's not taking a phone back, but you know, he's playing with a kid in the sandpit and suddenly he's snatching something out of somebody's hand and saying, that's mine. You know, where did that behavior come from? And so if you, whenever you're feeling overwhelmed with your kid's behavior, just remember that they're mirroring something they learned elsewhere. So sometimes it's not you. Sometimes if you're sending your kids to daycare, or if they're older, obviously they're at school, or if they're watching a lot of TV, it's looking at what behaviors are being modeled to them. And sometimes it's as simple as watching TV with them, if you're doing a lot of screen time, to say, oh, that behavior was really unkind. Why did they do that? And literally just reflecting with them. Or if you notice it's your own behavior, one, working on it, and two, actually calling out to them, hey, did you do that because you saw mommy or daddy do this? Okay, I understand. You know what? It wasn't okay for us to do that. And I'm going to really work on that next time. I'm going to try, and then actively try it next time.
Yes, it's all about environment too. And that's, it's so true, because it also holds you accountable. So like, even for me, like if I do have a moment where I'm overstimulated and I'm like, just give me a moment, or, you know, and then we'll come back and talk about it. Like, okay, so this is what you did. This is how I reacted, and I apologize. And even though he's two, and sometimes he's not listening, but subconsciously he's like, well, you know, I heard what she said. And you can see like the difference, the transformation of it. So that is so true. Like, environment does play a big factor, and also holding ourselves accountable makes a difference as well, because it's like you have to be vulnerable enough to apologize to your kids when you're not doing your best as well. It makes a difference.
Yeah, it makes a huge difference. And it works on different levels too. So it's not just admitting that you've made a mistake and trying a new model. It's also letting them know that they are worthy of an apology, and that their feelings matter, and that sometimes, hey, you know, mommy and daddy seems to know a lot of stuff, or mommy, or daddy and daddy, whatever situation you're in. But your parents, we seem to know a lot, but we don't know everything. And we make mistakes too. And it's part of being human. And you model quite a lot in that humility of being willing to apologize when you've made a mistake, even if it's something that feels ingrained in your personality that you look at and go, oh, do you know what? I need to work on that. It's not okay for me to speak to you in that way when I'm feeling overwhelmed. And it's not okay for me to, you know, behave in a way that doesn't feel safe for you, or that that isn't healthy for you.
Yeah, because I know it can be humbling at times too, because you'll just be like, wow, like, why did I react like that? And then it's just like, would I talk to another adult like that as well? Like, sometimes if you do feel overwhelmed, or just whatever the situation is, sometimes you have to think about, like, would I talk to an adult like that? Or how could I navigate to have a better relationship? Because it's a respect thing as well. That's how I see it too. Like, I had to teach myself when I was reading that book. It's like, it's kind of like a respect factor as well. Like, if you want to, we're raising humans. So if you want them to be able to be their best self, then we have to do the same thing as well.
Yeah. And you make a good point. It's considering that they're adults. And one of the things I like to do in my mind, because I've got toddlers, is I like to switch their age. So if they're having a really hard time and I'm having a hard time as well, sometimes I'll switch their age and be like, okay, you know what? If they were a teenager and the situation was slightly different, but the emotional response was the same, how would I want to react to them, respond to them, not react? How would I want to respond to them in a way that they feel safe to tell me what's going on, and they want to come and tell me what's going on, and that they then know how to deal with it themselves as well? Because just because somebody's crying over Lego falling over or the color of their cup not being the color that they want it to be, it doesn't mean that the intensity of that emotional experience is any less. Their frame of reference is different because they don't have as much life experience. They don't know that pain that they feel inside because the color isn't the color they want right now, and they don't have control over that. That feeling of dealing with futility or dealing with disappointment, it doesn't really matter if you're dealing with that cup is the wrong color, or that friend doesn't want to play with me, or I didn't get that job that I wanted. It's still disappointment. And so recognizing that, irrelevant of the cause of an emotional experience, you still need to look back at, well, what behaviors am I modeling for how I'm going to deal with it? And so how will they respond to other people, and how will they respond to themselves? Irrelevant of them being 2, 10, 20, or 50 years old.
Ooh, I feel like you've talked to me as well, because that is so true. Like, looking at it from a deeper level instead of the how they're reacting or not reacting, like how they're acting in that moment, it's more so deeper. It's the emotions that they're feeling, like how you said, they're disappointed. So how would you navigate that? How do you navigate those emotions though? Like how in the moment, how do you think about how I'm going to try to frame this? Like how do you think about it on a deeper level in those moments, like when your toddlers are disappointed or have whatever emotions that they're experiencing?
So first of all, is breathe yourself. So if whatever emotions you're bringing to it, although your emotional experience is important as well, you have the ability to pause, breathe, and deal with it later and process it later. And in the moment, your child needs you. If it's an intense emotion, you can't deal with it then you're best to just breathe and kind of wait than overreact. But in the moment, breathe with a slower exhale than an inhale so that you slow your heart rate down and you get your prefrontal cortex back online, which is your thinking, logical brain, and that you get your parasympathetic nervous system back online, all those sorts of things. You breathe and then you think, how can I create a safe environment for them to feel this feeling? So as a very real example, I've got a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old. When they have disagreements with each other over, sometimes they just want to play with the same toy, rather than using blame, shame, or guilt language of you took this or you did that or what did you do? It's stepping back from the situation and going, okay, how can I be objective and label what's going on for both of them? Because both of them are probably feeling upset. If one hits another, both of them are going to be in pain, the one who hit and the one who got hit. And so stepping back and going, okay, well, how can I create a safe environment so they both know what behavior is acceptable, but actually that they're both still lovable in this moment? And how do I, in that situation, maybe put my body in the way so that they can't hurt each other, and then just create an opportunity for them both to speak and feel heard about what happened, and give them words to label their own emotional experience, and give them options to give them the space to come up with a, well, what could you do next time that might work differently, or how do you think that maybe felt for the other person, and just giving that environment of, let them let the feeling out. And sometimes it's going to be in a way that doesn't feel comfortable for you as the parent. Let them kind of do that in the moment in a safe way as possible for you, for them, and the people around you. And then when they've had the chance to breathe and reconnect everything inside of them, to then have a conversation, hey, that didn't look like it felt really good. What could we try next time? Or how could we handle that differently? What do you think you could, if you really wanted the toy that they were asking for, do you think you could try asking, hey, when you finished your turn, can I have a turn? Rather than trying to take it out of their hands, or just giving them the words to label it themselves, the opportunity to problem solve themselves, and depending on their age, to also give them some options around, hey, here there's things that you could problem solve with. But looking at it as if they were 20 years older, you wouldn't be able to fix the problem for them. You wouldn't be able to take a toy off someone and give it back to the other. You wouldn't be able to do those things. So looking at it from, I'm not going to teach them that it's my job to problem solve for them, which was really hard for me to step away from. The very beginning, I thought I'll problem solve everything, but actually it's how do I teach them the skills and give them the space to handle their emotions themselves and problem solve for themselves.
Yeah, so it's like from what I hear, it's like making sure that you label that emotion and give them that space to express it, and also being able to acknowledge it once they are in a level state. So I know how you mentioned like even with us, we have to calm our nervous systems, our because I've learned that your body goes into fight or flight when your children are crying or think different aspects of things. So you have to learn how to minimize your emotions and use your frontal cortex, which is your logical aspect of the brain, which is a whole nother conversation. But that also helps you as well, help them label emotions, acknowledge it, and you can have that conversation. But would you consider it as a mediator in the thing of how you, when you're two of your kids are having conflict, or would you be more, what would you label that as? Instead of like you being able to jump in that aspect, you're like on the back end kind of thing.
How to label it. So rather than there are times that it's mediation, but there are times that you become the sports broadcaster. You are objectively observing and witnessing what's going on for each of them without language that places blame on either of them, and with language that helps them, if we think back to the AI example, that helps them to label something as, was that safe or unsafe? Was that kind or unkind? Is that a behavior that I want to repeat? Yes or no? So So giving them that opportunity to label it for themselves in a safe way.
Yes, I love this conversation. Like I feel like I could sit and talk to you all day about this because it's so deep. Because like what we are teaching the foundations now to our little ones, they will model in the future as well. And it's like we're helping raise them become good humans. And I just, oh my goodness, I love this conversation. Can you tell us what is the name of your book? Because I'm gonna go order it so I can keep it on my reading list as well.
Beyond Reactions, Nurturing an Emotionally Intelligent, Limitless Generation Through Conscious Parenting.
And where is this at? Is it through your website or is it on Amazon? Like where would we find it?
You can find me through at Percha Reed on Instagram, and I can send you a link. I it's through Amazon if you want to just go and find it on Amazon. Or if you email me, I can send you a link just to download a PDF copy that bypasses all the you know, Amazon fees, etc.
Yes. And then I know you're not in the US, so can people in the US get this book as
yes,
well?
Yes. It's Amazon. So you just use your local Amazon to buy it. And the podcast is No More Do Better on Spotify and Apple.
Say it one more time.
The podcast is called No More Do Better.
Yes, you
it's,
guys go.
It's by Maya Angelou. You know, once yes. We know more, we can do better. But that covers the broader picture of all areas of health. So personal growth, mental and emotional health. At the moment, we're starting in physical health. But that whole picture goes back to if you want a healthier future for your kids, model across all areas of health. So when you start working on yourself, you start modeling to your children that, you know, hey, if you're going to tell them, hey, you got to chase your dreams and do what you want to do. Well, if you're stuck at a job that you don't like, or if you're dealing with mental health and emotional health and physical health issues, you're modeling that to your children as acceptable.
Ooh, I love this. This is so deep. Can we? We're gonna have to have another episode or something. Like, I love this. Me and my husband talk about this all the time. So I'm so glad that we connected through Threads, you guys. Threads is where you can meet amazing people. I appreciate you so much from taking the time. I know it's super early where you are. I just appreciate for having you on. And you guys, I'm going to drop all of her information below in the description. So be sure to check it out. And until next time.